When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
It's time for a Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Nobody can ever tell you that you couldn't do it, because you did.
On Giants.com.
You know what I saw? New York Giant pride.
And the Giants mobile app.
17-14 is the final. One touchdown, we are world champions. Believe it, and it will happen.
Part of the Giants podcast network.
Let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. That's
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Friday's edition. It's been a quick week here and a busy one on Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com and the Giants mobile app. I am John Schmelk. He is Paul Dottino. The phone number for you to call in and give us a call is 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants chat on Twitter if you want to get in touch with us that way. You certainly can. Sorry for the late start today, folks. We had a couple things going on in the studio we had to take care of. Paris Campbell had his media availability as well.
Yes, sir.
Just had to take care of all that stuff before we got started. More to come potentially, so if I have to step out in the middle of the program, I apologize ahead of time. There is a much larger than non-zero chance that that's going to happen.
Yes.
Much like 2 days ago when I had to pop out when I was on with Lance. And
did you?
Based on the Giants Huddle podcast that have been hitting the airways, I think all of you can figure out why. We don't control those schedules. We're a slave to those schedules. So that's
yes,
how
we are.
This tends to work. So the Giants, Paul, according to reports, I'm not sure what's official and what's not, so I'm just going to keep saying according to reports.
yeah, we're
not
secluded
official.
In this room. That's
and,
the problem.
You know, the Giants have agreed to terms with Paris Campbell, the wide receiver out of the Indianapolis Colts, and also Jeff Smith, wide receiver from the New York Jets, and also bringing back wide receiver Darius Slayton from the New York Football Giants. So, again, according to reports, not official yet. As far as I understand, maybe it is, and I'll be proven wrong. That's fine. Pending physicals, all that good stuff. Paul, and look, they're trying to round out this wide receiver core. I think they're kind of trying to attack it with numbers more than they are with kind of that one star. But mm-hmm. the one thing all these guys have in common, and it's something Brian Daboll has spoken about and Joe Shane has spoken about this offseason, and they're living up to their word right now. They wanted to add speed and big playability to this wide receiver core. Bring back Slayton with the, you know, go speed on the sideline. Paris Campbell runs a 4-3-1. He's very elusive.
And he's got quicks.
Very elusive. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He makes people miss in the run after catch mm-hmm. situation. And Jeff Smith's got speed, too, and he's mostly been a special teamer. So they're trying to add speed and explosiveness to this wide receiver core to make more explosive plays through the air. The Giants had the fewest plays through the air of more than 20 yards, or second fewest, I think, of plays over 20 yards in the air last year. So they know they need to get that better, and they're trying to add speed to get that done.
All three guys have been clocked lower than 4.4. Which gives you an idea of what we're talking about.
And Paris Campbell, when I was talking to him and he was doing his media availability, I think he said that he was tracked as the fastest player on the on-field technology in the league last year. I think that's what
my.
He said to me.
Okay.
I haven't double-checked that, but he did say that to me.
Well, it would not surprise me. I want to say when he was at the Combine, when he came out of Ohio State back in 2019, wasn't he a 4-3-1?
4-3-1.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't be surprising.
Yeah, it would not be surprising at all. And by the way, folks, he's kind of thick. He's got some thickness to him. He looks a little bit more like he's built with a running back type of frame because he's got some thickness. A lot of people compared him to Curtis Samuel when he came out of school, and I can understand why. I think the other common trait, John... think about this now. We're talking about Smith and Campbell, both six-footers. Slayton, 6'1". So they seem to have also found a line of delineation.
And Campbell a little thicker too, 205 pounds.
Right.
Almost built like a running back.
So not only have they put an emphasis on speed with this wide receiving core, they also made sure they did not go and add any more Smurfs. I mean, they did bring back Sterling Shepard. Okay, that's
He's
true.
5'11". I would put him in the Smurf category.
But the point being,
I'm gonna let him know you called him a Smurf.
Well, they didn't bring. It's a lovable, lovable comment.
I know.
Heck, the Rangers were Smurfs when they went to the Cup for Freddie Shiro back in '79.
I remember that like it was yesterday.
I know you do. That's why I bring it up. But the point is, they seem to have improved their size a little bit in the room, and they've certainly stressed the speed thing. I will say this, John, from all the newcomers that we have been allowed to speak with so far, there's one other very common trait.
Just great dudes. I mean,
everyone.
They're just like nice guys. I mean, they're trying to get the right type of guy in the locker room, and that's, I think, what they're doing.
The Shane and Daboll formula, if you will, which they made very clear, besides tough, smart, and dependable, was we want a certain guy in our locker room.
Mm-hmm.
They were infinitely clear when they got here that that's what they were going to do. And so far, through their first season last year, we saw the kind of guys that they drafted and the kind of guys they brought in. We're seeing it now again in their second offseason of free agency. These are all guys who are enthusiastic, who enjoy the game, who appear to be really good teammates, and aren't going to cause any cracks in the Giants' armor.
Yeah, quite honestly, Paul, I think in the Joe Judge era, they for the most part did the same thing. There were a couple
for the
outliers,
most part.
But I think, you know, you look at the guys here, you know, the McKinneys, the Julian Loves, the Andrew Thomases, mm-hmm. and all those guys, those are all fit into the same category too. Dexter Lawrence, Leonard Williams, right? They're all good dudes. So I think it definitely falls into the same category. I'm with you on that. Paris Campbell specifically, I'm probably a little bit more excited about this than I should be. It should be noted that his first 3 years in the league were, frankly, a bit of a disaster due to injury. You know, he had foot problems.
And a knee.
So that kind of ended three seasons for him. Now, when I talked to him, I said, he goes, I'm just as athletic as I was. I haven't lost anything. You know, when he was doing the media availability. So he feels like he's 100% now and he's good to go. And you know, with the speed tracking last year, that, you know, he should be ready to roll. And look, health is essential. I get it. There's no guarantees with health. But I like the low-cost upside swing for a guy like Campbell. And with the way they used Breda and Barkley and some of those jet sweep motion things last mm-hmm. year with guys going in a different direction, you can now plug Caris Campbell into that role because that was his role at Ohio State.
Yes.
Drags, jet sweeps, simple pass game, stuff like that. They're going to be able to do a lot of interesting things with him with his speed, agility, his work in the backfield that can be very, 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 very effective.
Well, as a matter of fact, John, when you talk about Campbell, the two things they talked about that knocked him out of the first round because he was a second-round pick with the Colts.
His route running.
Because he had tremendous skills. Mm-hmm. It was the route running because they made things so simple for him with the Buckeyes.
And again, not his fault. That's just the role he played there.
No, that's their scheme.
And we have seen, by the way, awesome route runners and players that are NFL-ready come out of Ohio State
yes.
every year.
Because they've got to make that jump and then learn the complete tree, which they're not given when they're with the Buckeyes. They're just not.
Well, it depends what position you play. Like Chris Olave was.
Well,
Garrett Wilson was ready. But in that slot role, no, you're right. You aren't given that full route.
So that was one potential negative that dropped him a bit. And the other reason he dropped into the second round.
And understandably so, by the way.
Oh, no question.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's not a fault of his. That's where you have to have some faith in your projection.
And your coaching staff to develop the guy.
No question. The other thing was he did have some dropsies coming out of school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because he's had 3 years dotted with injury, last year was the first time he played all 17 games. I don't know if he said it to you in the one-on-one, John, but during the media avail, he said the most important thing for him last year was to play all 17. I remember when Evan Ingram used to say that to us all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I want to play every game this year. Let me just do that. That's a big deal. I need to prove that I'm healthy. And once I can do that, everything else will fall into place. And he did. He played all 17 games last season and had a breakout campaign.
63, 623, 3 touchdowns, 5 carries, 58 yards. So, yeah.
So that to some degree, and I don't want to discount the 3 years that he was with the Colts prior, but to some degree, this was the first year that he was allowed to actually settle in, play on a consistent basis, and try to hone his skills, polish his craft, and become a true regular NFL caliber receiver. At the same time, he told us in the media session that it was also very difficult because they were constantly changing quarterbacks in Indianapolis over his 4 years there. It was a carousel.
Yeah, the other thing to note too, Paul, is that Mike Groh is his receivers coach there. So the Giants have a ton of intel.
Oh, they know.
None of this should be a surprise. And he had a bunch of intel of what it was going to be like when he got here. So he's also, he told me, he's training with Isaiah Hodgins in Arizona.
Right.
So that's another guy that he's talked to a lot. So needless to say, I think there's an idea here that both sides are in line with. He said, you know, Dable FaceTimed them 3 times yesterday. You know, things like that. I think there's
he likes to do that to his players, doesn't he?
Everybody. I think there's a real idea of how this is going to work and how it all comes together in terms of how you're going to use him. And again, I think you can use him in some of that misdirection stuff that you used Braden Barkley with last year, and you can do it even more because he has receiver skills. So I think it's a good, you know, flyer type of contract here, and you see how it goes, and I think you could have some real upside on it.
I agree with you, John. And, you know, the Giants, they knew they had to upgrade their passing attack. That's no secret. We all knew that. The question was going to be, how was it going to happen? There are many ways to get to Grandma's house. You know, you could take the stone path, you could take the cobble, the pavers, you could take the thing that's paved over like a true street. There are a lot of ways to get to Grandma's house. The Giants have decided to upgrade their passing game by acquiring a proven 1,000-yard receiver at tight end and acquiring more speedsters. That seems to be the way they've decided to go. It does not appear like a, quote, alpha receiver, which we've been talking about now for a while. That was probably the easiest way to go, but maybe in their minds, it might have been hard to acquire or may have been a poorer value. So they've decided to go with the alpha tight end, the alpha receiving tight end in Waller, and the speedster acquisitions in the receiving room. That's all. They've just decided to take a different path to Grandma's house.
Yeah, and I know a lot of fans were excited about Darius Slayton's potential return. And again, you know, we'll see when it's official and if it does in fact happen. According to reports, it's in the works. So, look, I think it's just exciting to have a guy that can win over the top. You want that guy with deep speed that can win in a straight line that you have to put a safety over sometimes. And I think he does that. He's not a number one. You know, he's down the depth chart a little bit, but we saw last year, Paul, he certainly has a role where he can play and be a very effective player for you.
I would like to believe that the Giants will use him more downfield as opposed to what the Colts did. His average yards per catch was around 9.
Well, I was talking about Slayton.
Oh, Slayton. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought you were talking about Campbell again. Look, we know what Slayton can do. He simply has to polish up his consistency. That's all.
Yeah, cut down the drops.
That's it. I mean, he's a willing blocker in the run game. He's not great at it, but he's a willing blocker in the run game. He runs good routes. He does get open. He does have deep threat ability. And he's got very good chemistry with Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. He checks a lot of the boxes. Just the consistency issue.
And I agree with you. I think they could use Campbell more downfield as well than they did in Indiana.
Yeah, the Colts did not, for whatever reason. Maybe it's just that their quarterback situation wasn't very good.
I'm sure that's a big part of it.
And the team wasn't very good.
Right.
I mean, their offensive line fell apart this year, too. So yeah, they had to get rid of the ball
quickly.
Jonathan
Taylor was hurt. All those things happened.
Right.
It was bad.
So I don't necessarily want to look at Campbell's 9 yards a catch and say, well, he's not a deep threat. I think that would be a mistake.
Well, he has the speed, certainly, to be a deep threat. That's for sure. And then the other two guys, real quickly, Jeff Smith, we mentioned, kind of a special teams player. I think he could be a gadget guy. He has quarterback history in college. He played some gunner, kick return, punt return, limited wide receiver, but also with some speed. He's one of those depth guys that I think can be a core special teamer if they want to use him that way.
Yeah, I think, you know, that acquisition's curious to me because we just don't know what their primary purpose was in bringing him here.
With his size and speed, he looks like an NFL gunner.
We think so.
Right.
We discussed this last night before we did our report for the Giants.com website.
He only
website.
Has 50 or so 70 snaps, right, as a gunner in his career.
Right.
So it's not a ton of usage
so,
there.
So they must have a projection for him.
Mm-hmm.
Either they think, A, he can be more of the rotation in the receiving role, or B, they believe that he can really be a special teams demon and hasn't been given quite that chance yet because he's been a part-time special teamer with the Jets. Maybe they think he can actually take a full step forward and be a top-notch special teams cover guy. And you know what? That's what usually happens, John. It's the DBs and the wide receivers who become your really good coverage guys, your guys who get down there, your David Tyrees, your Renee Thompsons of the world, your Michael Thomases of the world. Those guys become the guys who down the ball inside the five.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So we know the Giants need that. They absolutely need that. Jamie Gillen was brought back this year to punt once again, but he needs a really good coverage guy to enhance his game.
And then finally, I'll throw out Jahad Ward, who again, according to reports,
yes,
he has been retained, you know, pending physical, and we'll see if it happens, agreed to terms, et cetera, et cetera. Again, good locker room guy. He was a good backup. Whenever Thibodeau or Ojulari were hurt, he stepped in there. Very good against the run. Versatile, can play inside and outside, Paul. And just a good, solid player and a good leader and locker room guy that is, I would call him an emotional leader on the team.
You know, no question.
You know, he's vocal. You can hear him a lot.
Not just emotional, vocal.
Vocal, yes. All that put together into one. So I think he brings value in all those different areas.
Without a doubt. And that's why Wink Martindale wanted him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had him in Baltimore before Ward went to Jacksonville for a pit stop. And there's little doubt that, you know, when he came, I mean, I had other players in the locker room tell me last year that they knew when Wink brought Ward in, he was brought in specifically to enhance the explosiveness and the energy in the locker room. That's what he was brought here for. And it turned out he became a really good edge stuffer, even better than I think they thought in terms of his performance on the field, because he was brought here more for the intangibles. And it turned out he had a career high in tackles. By the way, I just did one quick look on the Next Gen stats, John, just for folks who are interested
look
about
at
Paris
Paul,
Campbell.
Looking up the analytics, how far we've come.
Well, only because...
No, I'm take the compliment.
No, I don't want it. I am looking at the Next Gen stats,
give me
though.
Your advanced stats.
Only,
give me
only,
the Paul
only to give... And this is a data thing. This is not... Remember, the analytics stuff that I don't approve of is how people
Paul data
interpret them.
Analytics.
Just pure facts and data, I'm okay with.
This is all the team.
They're saying here that Campbell on the Next Gen Stats sites, they're saying that Campbell averages 3.5 yards of separation. And there was only five receivers in the league who had an average of 4 yards or greater in separation. And then there's a whole chunk of guys between 3.9 and 3.5. So the cluster, he's in that second cluster, which puts him roughly in the top 20 of the league in terms of separation.
No
so he's got jukes, he's got quicks, and he's got speed.
Paul will be back with win probabilities coming up next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Make sure you go subscribe.
Cut this videotape out because it's the last time you're going to get it. You got me?
Heavy analytics.
It will never happen again.
See, it looks like that Cynthia Freeland interview with the Combine paid off. Paul is now all in on the advanced analytics.
I have nothing else to say.
Make sure you go subscribe to the Giants Huddle Podcast. I do. The podcast features interviews with Giants players and coaches, insight from the best reporters covering the NFL and former players, coaches, and executives from around the league. Search for the Giants Huddle on your favorite podcast platform or listen on the Giants app or Giants.com/podcast. We already have interviews with Darren Waller on there from a couple days ago. Bobby Okereke was with me yesterday. Go check those out. And something tells me something might be coming later today as well with some new acquisitions. So make sure you stay tuned for that on the old Giants Huddle podcast.
Them. When you say new acquisitions, they might think that it might be other guys who haven't been reported yet.
Well,
there's always a chance that somebody does drop in.
I'm being vague.
Okay.
If somebody just walks in today and I can interview them, then
that's true too.
Then I teased it properly.
That's
then
true
didn't
too.
I?
Yes, you would have.
Go Go get back to your analytics. Don't worry about reading copy, okay?
See, my mind is all messed up now because I touched an analytics page.
Get back to your calculator.
I have now been poisoned.
Paul, master of spreadsheets.
Oh.
Get back to it, keyboard warrior.
201. Do you really want to see a spreadsheet? Look at this, John. Look at this. I got to show John something.
Oh, no. What do you
look have? Look at this.
What am I looking at?
This is a beautiful thing. Tell people how wonderful this is. Look at that. That is my spreadsheet of the Giants sack chart for this year.
Very good.
Isn't that a beautiful thing?
I didn't know you knew how to use Excel, to be honest with you.
I use
Microsoft, by the way, proud sponsor.
Libre.
Oh, see, Tom. After I give the sponsor, you give the competition to the sponsor. You still haven't figured this out, have you? You're an idiot.
Sorry.
I'm giving the sponsor and he gives the competitor. That was actually a Microsoft Excel spreadsheet, wasn't
it? Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. Thank you very much. 201-939-4513, the first superior product, Microsoft. All right, let's go to Jerome in Charlotte. He will lead us off here. Jerome, what's going on?
Hi, guys. Love the show.
Thank you. I can't take you anywhere.
What the Giants been doing?
Pepsi, sponsor.
Are they going to get a number one in receiver in the draft? And also, since they've been picking up so much, who do you think they will go to corner and defensive line in the draft? What's your perspective on that?
Yes. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate the call. I think they'll be targeting all those positions in the draft, to be quite honest with you. And we might even get more defensive line and free agency coming down the pike, too, on the lower end cost end. That wouldn't shock me either.
Yeah, I think what they've done so far with free agency is they've lessened some of the need component at receiver.
Well, that's exactly what you want to do.
No doubt. And defensive line. Now, that doesn't omit the fact that they couldn't take one. They certainly could.
Right, and they have not added one at corner.
No, they have not. They have not. I would say this, John. You know, I was surprised at the haul so far. I'll be perfectly frank with all the listeners out there. I didn't think the Giants would be as active as they have been.
No, I mean, not anybody that's super high-priced. Okereke is the biggest one, and that's, you know, based on the reports, not astronomical.
Well, you know, Waller was an $11 million cap hit.
That's true. That's true, though. That's been, if reports are correct, that has been significantly reduced.
Yes.
Which, again, we talked about
he talked about how he had no guaranteed money left
after this year. Well, again, if this Field Yates report is correct, that is no longer the case.
Right, due to a converted signing bonus that Field is reporting, which, again, created more cap room to allow the Giants to do the kinds of things that they're doing over the course of the last 48 hours. I am a bit surprised that they have been as active as they have been. But having said that, okay, let's not forget, they already traded one of their draft picks. They had 11.
Mm-hmm.
They've traded one. I still would not be surprised if they either move up in the draft with what they have or trade another pick for another body.
The problem is where they have all those excess picks. That's
most
really
of them
not,
are backloaded.
That's really not going to move. If you want to move up in like the third round, fifth round picks aren't going to do much for you, or seventh round picks aren't going to do much for you.
You might be able to package a couple and move up like five spots even.
With the fifth round pick, sure.
Yeah, you could do that.
Sure.
So they might still wind up doing something like that, because having 10 picks, I will maintain, as I believe you've already agreed with me,
sure,
I don't think 10 draft picks are making this team.
Remember, for me, seventh round picks for me are no different than undrafted free agents. You know, they have to earn their roster spot. Nothing's given. Sixth rounders even to an extent. So, but yeah, I agree with you. I'll just say this again. We've said this multiple times on the show, and I'll reiterate it again. I don't think there are obvious number one wide receivers in this draft. There are guys that could be. I'm sure there's going to be guys that aren't expected that develop into them, but there's no obvious like Julio Jones or AJ Green in this draft. So whomever you draft might only end up developing into a really good two, which is still fine. You get a really good number two wide receiver with the 25th pick in the first round. That's awesome. Second round, even better.
Right.
So I don't think that alpha dog wide receiver is necessarily walking through the door this offseason. That's why they got Darren Waller, because he's an alpha dog tight end, assuming he can stay healthy.
Bingo. And, you know, let's not kid ourselves. Unless one of the top three receivers in the first round were to drop to 25, that probably would have been the only way that they would have taken a receiver at 25 if one of those top three guys had fallen.
Who are your top three?
Well, Addison is my top guy. Now, whether or not you think the Quentin Johnson, you know, is number two or number three, I guess that depends on the type of guy that you want. But you know what? Here's the bottom line. I don't think any of the three are getting to 25. So they did what they had
to do.
So you
have Addison, Johnson, and Jigba? Those
yes.
are your three?
Yeah.
You wouldn't
Jigba
put,
Smith.
You wouldn't put Zay Flowers in that?
I would not.
Okay.
You know, but
you
want to
put Jalen Hyatt in that mix?
I think Hyatt and Flowers are going to be second rounders.
Okay. Just asking.
You know, I look, I've said this at the combine. I like Tillman, but I don't think he's going to get to them at 57.
I think he might.
Well, it'd be nice.
And I always try to burst your bubble on that.
You do.
I think
you love to stick me with a fork.
I think he has a chance to get to 57. Have you watched A.T. Perry out of Wake Forest?
I have not.
Watch him.
I have not.
You will like him.
Oh, okay.
He's tall, too, which is why. You know me. I get more suckered in by the smaller separator guys.
Yes, you do.
That's my weakness.
And I have a weakness for taller guys
right,
with length.
So if I watch a big, tall guy and I like him a lot, I think that should tell you something.
You like him at 57?
Yeah, I would like him in probably the 40s. I think he's very good.
Well, then at 57, then you're reaching.
Other
it's not going to happen.
Other teams might not, though.
Okay.
Most mock drafts have him as a second or third round pick. So.
I know of him, obviously, but no, I have not looked at his film yet.
Yeah, no, he's good. Take a look at him when you can. I think
I will.
I think you'll enjoy it. Now we can try to refocus back on the draft here. Now that free agency is
right.
going to end a little bit.
Well, we could maybe. Who knows? There might be five more guys walking in tomorrow.
Yeah, who knows? I won't be here for that. So let's go to Angelo in Dallas. Angelo, what's going on?
Nothing much, guys. P-Dot doing winning analytics. That sounds great, man.
He's all over it. He's our new math guy.
You know what? I'm going to smash this machine right in front of you. In fact, I'll break it over my head and then yours. Go ahead.
That's fine. Hey, three quick questions. The first one's real quick. There was rumblings last year about the new turf being done in the stadium. Is
yes.
that still happening or not really?
Yes.
Yeah, they'll be redoing the turf. I don't think they've announced details on exactly what it's going to be, but they are going to be redoing it.
It's a different blend.
Yep.
That's all.
Gotcha. The second question is, there's been a lot of obviously free agent additions with some obviously linebacker, front line, and receivers. Since they have not yet addressed the interior line, and I think that was maybe a weakness of the offensive line, who are y'all thinking in the draft they may target? I've seen some names like Tipman as a center. Do you have any names? I saw Osiris Terrence. He seems kind of huge as an offensive guard to have the lateral movement that the OCs may want, but what is y'all's take on the offensive line or anything that would be addressed, if you think it needs to be addressed?
Yes, I do think you probably need to add another interior guy. I think at some point you have to bring in a center. You know, they have guys that can play center here. They don't have anybody that I would consider a center. Mm-hmm. You know, Shane Lemieux has taken snaps there. Ben Bredesen has taken snaps there, but they don't have somebody that is by trade a center on the roster.
I agree.
Is he a center on the roster right now?
What's that?
Is Feliciano still on our roster?
No, he's a free agent. So
correct.
They don't have anyone. No, so I think you're right on with your call here, Angelo, that at some point you're gonna have to add someone inside, and Tipman is probably a day two pick in terms of a center. I have not watched him yet. John Michael Schmitz out of Minnesota, I think he's probably not, in my opinion at least, worth a first round pick. But I don't think he's going to get to you with your second round pick. So I think you'd be out of luck with him. You know, Osiris Torrence, I think, is in that same category. I think he'll get picked between 25 and 40 as the best guard in the draft. He's lost weight. He was like 350 at Florida. He's down to 330 something. Yeah, he's actually dropped about 20 pounds, I think, since the season's ended. So he's trying to improve his mobility. I really like Steve Avila out of TCU. He's another kind of big-bodied, powerful offensive guard that's a good player. I think he could be a day two type of fit. And there are some other guys. I haven't done the full watch on all the guards. I thought the Patterson kid out of Notre Dame, I want to say, at the Senior Bowl played pretty well. I think he's more of a third, fourth-round type of guy.
I concur.
Any free agents you know about? I think there's one from Indianapolis. I think that was an interior offensive lineman. I think a center or guard, I think.
I would have to look at who's left. But I think, I think they're running out of money. So I think anyone at this point you add is probably going to have to be on the lower end. But Angelo, I think in terms of, like, we don't have players at this position, we need to add people. I think right now biggest need, just in terms of bodies, is probably corner and interior offensive line.
I'm going with center. I think they have enough of candidates at guard.
Okay, that's
between
fine.
Between Bredesen, Azudu,
Lemieux. I agree with you.
And quite honestly,
I'll go center. I'm with you on that.
You know, there's a reason like Wyatt Davis was brought back.
Yep.
I mean, they've got enough of bodies, you know, in my mind, that they can have a competition at left guard, and also, they'll find a winner.
Also, McKeithen at guard.
McKeithen was an IR last year.
Right.
You know, they have enough. So I think they need more competition at center. I suspect, I don't know this. Please don't hold me to it.
Don't aggregate.
I suspect that Feliciano probably doesn't have a lot of activity right now on his phone, and maybe the insurance policy, if the Giants can't get a center that they're happy with enough in the draft.
Gotcha.
I happen to like Tippmann. My only concern with him is that at 6'6", that can be, you know, taller guy has trouble with leverage and has trouble with getting his bend going and getting off that snap quick. He's a much more bigger guy. With that frame, it can cause issues. And if you've got some quick three techniques and linebackers who are coming up the middle, you know, he's going to be lumbering just a little bit. At 6'6", that's his leverage, his balance could be a problem. But I'm with John. I don't think Schmidt should take him at 25. Would I be shocked if they did? I wouldn't. I think it could happen.
Joe Shane loves those high value positions. I don't think
it's going to happen. But if it does, I can't be shocked.
I wouldn't be blown away by it.
Okay.
And I like the way that they've done the structure. I think it's been a balance of cap-friendly deals and also, I think, player deals. But it's interesting that a lot of them are 1 year, maybe 2 years. So I trust what's going on in the process, but it's like, okay, after 1 or 2 years, if these people really perform, the Campbells of the world, you know, now we're looking at having to re-sign them to keep them, to not put them out there in the free agent markets next year or the next 2 years. So that kind of does give me some concern with trying to, now we have to compete against, you know, compete again, new players, re-sign the Andrew Thomas and everybody else, you know, on new deal. So I'm kind of worried about that. I'll take it offline.
All right. Thank you, Angelo. Appreciate the time.
Understood.
Well, the cap's going up, which will help. But yeah, look, that's the way it goes.
Well, I mean, look.
You've seen all this cap shuffling these teams have done, whether it's the Eagles or the Cowboys or the Saints, you know, they get everyone underneath the salary cap number.
Yeah, look, we've already told you, the business model that every team usually goes through is they try to manage their cap in three-year increments. Excuse me, I'm sorry. And so it makes me very emotional. And the thing about it is that as you do that, okay, you not only are working with the numbers, you're also working with, well, what's the depth chart look like? And what does the age at that position look like? Because at some point, you're going to have to replenish. I believe John and I have already said, realistically, with the core the Giants have now, this is a two-year, max three-year window with this core.
It depends who you count as the core. If you're counting like a Dorian Leonard Williams in there, then yeah, I guess.
Yeah. That's what it is right now.
And Saquon, it might only be one. I mean, Saquon, Leonard, and the Dory only have 1 year left each on their deal.
Okay, so there's going to be, the core is going to overturn somewhat, at least part of the core, over the course of the next 2 or 3 years. So, you know, I'm not as concerned about the turnover that you're talking about because I know there's going to wind up being turnover anyway. I did want to mention Solomon Kindly. Also, as a guy who they put on a reserve clause contract, I mean, you know, look at him, 6'4", 339 pounds out of Georgia. Good program, came out of school with, you know, the thought that this guy was going to be one of those oversized guards. I don't want to necessarily throw him out of the mix at guard. I think he'll be given a chance to compete.
Let's go to Rob in Connecticut. He's up next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hi, Rob.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You're two of my favorite people. I was once in a hospital bed on draft day, and you guys were the only guys who got me through
That's so awfully kind. Are you okay now?
I'm doing great.
That's wonderful.
I'm super healthy, doing great. Thank you. So you've been jumping into an area I wanted to ask you about. I play one of these draft mock simulators quite often, and I do it just so I get a sense of the players and positions and how thin a position might be. And I know we always, you know, the Giants have always said never draft for need, draft the best available player. But I think we still need a wide receiver. I love what Joe Shane has done, but I think we still need a wide receiver. And so my question to you is very specific. When I play these mock draft simulators, and I know they're not real, but if I wait to the second round to get a wide receiver, everybody is gone. Even Marvin Sims, Flowers, they're all gone.
I don't know if Marvin Mims is necessarily gone with your second round. There, I think that's exactly the range where he'll go, to be honest with you.
Well, my question was going to be, if you're sitting there in the first round, and Simpson, the linebacker from Clemson, who I love, is there, but also Hyatt, the wide receiver from Tennessee, is there. Do you think they would go with Simpson over Hyatt?
I think both those, in my opinion, both those guys are second-round players, so I wouldn't pick either one of them, in my opinion.
Really?
I mean, and you just spent $40 million on Bobby Okereke. I wouldn't go and then use a first-round pick on Trenton Simpson.
Correct.
Okay.
So I would say in that hypothetical, I think they would take Hyatt.
They would take Hyatt.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I would think so under those circumstances.
But you think Hyatt, but I don't think Hyatt would be available to us where we pick in the second round.
No, absolutely not. No, I do not.
He's not getting to 57. You got a better chance of Tillman being there. And by the way, I'd be fine with that. I'm a Tillman guy.
You're a Tillman guy over Hyatt.
Yeah.
I think that's a little crazy.
Because Hyatt's not going to make it. That's why.
No, but if they're both on the board, which one do you pick?
I got you.
Oh, Hyatt's the better value.
Oh, okay, there you go.
But he's not getting there.
No, that's fine.
I try to be realistic.
I got you.
Even though you bust my horns and tell me I'm not, I try to be realistic. And Hyatt's no way in hell he's getting out of 57.
No, he's not. Absolutely not.
But that's why I think they got to take someone like him. You know, Paul, your top three are gone, obviously, when we pick in the first. But I think if Hyatt's there, even Flowers, and I know that might be a reach at the end of the first round, I would go Flowers or Hyatt in that first round pick over any other position.
Okay.
Hey, look, if you think the player is graded high enough, yeah, but I wouldn't pick a second round player. Though, honestly, most of the guys the Giants have available to them in the first round that late might be second round players anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yes.
You know, to me, I don't think you – I don't – like, for example, like – do you have to pick Zay Flowers in the first round? What if you get Josh Downs in the second round? I think Josh Downs is nearly as good of a player as Zay Flowers is, right? What if Marvin Mims is there in the second round? I don't think he's that much worse than those two guys. I love Charlie Jones out of Purdue, for example. Maybe you can get him in the second round, something like that. So I think there are guys that can be had, Rob. I would not pigeonhole myself into saying I have to take X position in the first round, because that's when you reach and you wind up with a player that's not worth the value you picked him at.
Okay. All right. It'll be fun to watch.
It will be. Appreciate the call, Rob. But look, I think there's a legitimate opportunity, to Rob's point, that the best guy on the board at 25 could very well be a wide receiver. I don't think that's impossible.
It's possible. I mean, look, John, when we talked to all those folks out at the Combine, there was an awful lot of indecision in the bottom third of the first round.
I mean, right now you talk to people, you know, depending on who you ask, and we talked to a lot of people at the Combine.
We did.
Anywhere from 14 to 18 first-round grades in this draft?
And that might even be a lot. So, I mean,
I don't know what the Giants have, but that's what you talk to people
in. We have no idea what they have upstairs. But certainly after 20... I mean, most people seem to indicate to us that between like 20 and 50, you might have virtually the same grade.
Do you want to give the little report that you just saw right there?
Josina Anderson of CBS Sports, I'm going to quote her tweet because that's the only way to do this properly. It says, text from Julian Love, quote, agreed to terms with Seattle, unquote.
We'll see if that works out. Be a shame if it does.
Great
guy. Julian.
Great guy.
You'll be missed. If that is in fact the case, I could always see him as one of those guys that finds his way back here at some point just because of, you know, the impression he left on people in the building. But look, the Giants do have some additional help there at safety. They drafted Dane Belton last year. They got Jason Pinnock from the Jets, who played a lot of snaps for the Giants last year as well. So they do have bodies at that position, Paul, though, you know, none of them, I don't think, as good of players as Julian Love, but they do have guys that I think they can slide in there. And now I think you wonder, does safety necessarily become a need you're looking at in the draft when you get there?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. Did they retain Terrell Burgess?
I don't. Did he sign a futures deal with
them? I don't know. I'm going to look that up right now, because that would be another guy that, you know, would be in that mix in the depth chart. Now, we've been talking about Pinnock and Belton all along, but I'm curious now if Burgess did re-sign a futures deal. Actually, you know what? He is.
He did sign a futures deal.
They've got him. He's on the actual active roster as we speak. So he's on a regular contract, according to the our website, Giants.com,
you know,
website.
Trenton Thompson is somebody that was a young guy that was back from last year, but I could still see safety being something you take a look at in the draft, though it is not a great safety class.
No, it's whatsoever. Not. A, it's not a great class. B, you've already got guys in the building who you're familiar with.
Yep.
And to be honest, usually a safety is also going to be a special teamer guy too. So if they feel that somebody like Burgess or Thompson can excel on special teams, they might just make it as a backup safety because they can do so well on teams.
Right.
So
201-939-4513. Don't forget, folks, take your Giants season ticket membership and fan them to the next level with a season ticket membership. Stay connected to the club all year round, not just on game days. Memberships are now available for the 2023 season. To learn more about all the exclusive member benefits, visit Giants.com/tickets. Limited inventory is available. And don't forget, the Giants official connected TV streaming app, Giants TV, brings original video content and game highlights on demand and direct to Big Blue fans. Giants TV is free. Paul's favorite price on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire TV, and the Giants mobile app. Let's go to Hugo in New Jersey. He's up next. Hugo.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Yep.
You know, you might recall I was one of the people very early in the off season who said there's many ways to skin the cat when it comes to the passing game, and I think based on the moves so far, it's kind of lining up with sort of my expectations. I don't think, you know, Shane is going to reach in the draft or try some trade that doesn't have value to bring in a receiver, although everyone seems hyper-focused on receiver. Now, keep in mind, I mean, the passing game can improve in a lot of different ways. Better offensive line play. We already talked about the tight end improvement from Daniel Jones. Let's not forget getting the backs more involved in the passing game. I mean, if you think about New England and what they did with guys like Shane Vereen and James White, I think there's some potential to do more with the running backs and potentially, you know, in the mid-rounds, draft a dynamic change of pace. I'm not going to call him a mega-type guy because there was only one mega, but a guy, you know, with that kind of profile to help in the passing game as well. I would also say that having more throws at the dartboard would help the passing game as well. So some improvement in the defense so teams aren't running up and down the field between the 20s will also help the passing game. And, you know, if you think about what Joe Shane has said about scarcity, I'm leaning more towards maybe a guy like Macy Smith, the defensive tackle out of Michigan at 25.
Yeah, it's possible.
Where value may align with not only with scarcity, but also with sort of where we're picking in the draft. So I would like to – I think you could – I guess my point is you can scheme around the passing game. Oof. But it's hard to scheme. Well, it's hard to scheme when you can't stop people in the run or rush the passer.
Yeah, but you are naturally limited in what you can and how explosive and successful a passing game can be based on the players on the roster. Yes, you can make do, you can figure it out, but you're going to be limited, like we saw with the explosive plays, for example, on the Giants last year, right? I think that was a product of the personnel for sure.
So don't take my comments the wrong way. I think you've got to be above a certain floor in the passing game.
A threshold, right? I got you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But look, I agree with what they did. You know, bring in Waller, throw numbers at the receivers. That's all good. But you know, in the first Philly game, the issue wasn't the receivers weren't getting open. The issue was Daniel didn't have enough time to get it downfield, right? So let's keep that in mind, that explosive plays require the quarterback to have time. So if Evan Neal improves and we could do something with the interior of the offensive line and so on, that'll go a long way
towards
solving our problems, I think.
No argument. Thank you, Hugo.
Okay.
Appreciate the call. Yeah, look, and John, I think the Waller addition is a big part of that. What do you got?
A couple of things.
Something more out of your analytics treasure
chest?
No,
okay. Not at all. It's just simple football 101. They will tell you that one of your quarterback's best friends when there are pass protection issues is the tight end. And when that tight end is 6'6", like Waller is, he becomes a really good friend.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be lined up outside as much as he is going to be a tight end, too, to be honest with you, on the line.
But in the slot,
yeah,
he is a very, very, very important weapon for that quarterback who wants to get rid of the ball quickly.
100%.
The other thing is, you're talking about with Wandale Robinson, with
Sterling Shepard. Paris Campbell.
Campbell. Okay. Campbell's the one I was going to say. Because we know that Campbell has the quicks and the escapability in the short range. With their kind of talents, they can get loose within a 5 to 10 yard range, which does allow the quarterback to get rid of the ball quicker, which again mitigates some of the pass rush issues.
Yeah, and we talked to Ben Solak about this too out at the combine, and he brought up the great point. And he, you know, as Hugo brought up, getting the running backs more involved in the passing game, a lot of that gets eliminated when your quarterback runs a lot, because instead of having a dump down, check down throw, they just told Daniel to run it.
Yeah, you have a green light to take off if you need to.
So he usually doesn't get to that check down. He's already moving.
Yeah. And you know, we hadn't really talked about that all season long until he brought it up at the combine.
I thought it was a really good point.
And it was an excellent point. And, it, you know, in all honesty, as much as John knows, I'm not in favor of Daniel running a lot. I truly believe with what they're trying to do with the rest of this offense, I think they are going to try to cut down on some of his runs. He's still going to do
it when I see
he's still going to do it some. There's no doubt he's going to do it some. But I'll tell you right now, I would bet you a very nice George Washington dollar bill that the Giants will have Daniel Jones with fewer rushing attempts this season than he had in 2022. I would be shocked if he doesn't.
Okay, I agree with that. But the question is, how low does it go?
That I don't know yet. We still have to find out how much they will enhance that offensive line. That might have something to do with how low it goes. And then, of course, the other thing is the health of these receivers. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny, but Campbell has an injury history. Shepard has an injury history. Slayton even has an injury history. And
so
God knows.
Shepard, obviously.
And so does Wandale Robinson.
And so does Saquon Barkley.
Okay, who's the one guy? Even Waller had an injury history.
Oh, yeah.
So who's the one guy on this offensive skill set that the Giants currently have who doesn't have an injury history? And that's Isaiah Hodgins. And he had one with Buffalo.
He had two with Buffalo.
Right.
The first 2 years.
So,
Paul, don't start freaking people out.
No. But in answer to your question, if I were to calculate how low that number is going to come,
right,
it's going to be based on the skill position availabilities and how well this line pass protects. That will determine how low that number comes.
Can you, using your analytics tools, calculate the injury probability of each one of those players over the course of a 17-game season?
You're going to laugh, but I actually know somebody who can do that for me if I wanted it, and I don't want it. I'm serious. I have access to that, and I don't want
it. Go for it.
I don't want it.
Give me injury probability.
I don't want it.
All right, you have to be a little more aggressive as our new analytics source here on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
No, there are other people in this building who do it. I do not want to see those numbers. I don't.
201-939-4513, Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe, what's up?
Hi guys. You were just talking about Daniel running, but I'm just wondering here this year here that the opportunity might be here this coming year more where they can't key on him as much, you know, that they with Waller there and the speed.
Well, you mean in the design running game, Joe, or in scramble situations?
In a design running game or just in general, that the opportunity might be there that I believe now with Waller going out that the safeties and linebackers and that will be more worried about doubling the speed we have. And the tight end, Waller.
Joe,
you know that.
I will say this to you. Waller is a headache player because you can't just say we're going to guard him with our standard defense. You do have to make special plans for him. whether you're going to bracket him, whether you're going to put a your three safety look on him and make the third safety the man up guy, or, you know, Parcells used to put a corner, an extra corner in the game to guard Shockey man to man. I mean, you do have to make an adjustment for him. So he's a headache player. So the Giants now have two. They've got Barkley and they've got Waller. So in general, having two headache players means the defense does have to make special arrangements for those two guys, which in turn does take attention away from the rest of your skill set position players. So in general, you're on the right track. I don't know specifically how defenses will diagram it, but you have philosophically come back to the core belief that I've always had, and that is this team needed to add another headache player, and they've done it.
Right, Paul. And like last year or so, they might have had a spy on Daniel. They're not going to be able to do that so easy with Waller and the speed bears. You know what I mean?
I don't think they spied Daniel much last year.
They didn't.
To be honest with you.
They didn't.
I'm just saying I think the opportunity might be there for him at times more this year. So,
well, Joe, you might be right, but I think there'll be more opportunities. The guy's actually open, so throw it. I'm serious. I'm not trying to be funny.
You're right, though. Yeah. I think you're right.
Whatever. I'm just thankful for it. But what I wanted to get to, my main thing is I'm very satisfied with our weapons now. Now I think the key is the pass protection. And a center there, is there a center at 25 that fall to us that's worth it there?
We talked about Schmitz being the only one who you could even imagine thinking at 25. I tend to agree
center
with John.
Center or guard too? Just center?
He said center.
Yeah, Schmitz is the only one, yeah.
Yeah.
And where would he be around there? Do you think he'd come to us or further down the line?
No, like I think Schmitz is off the board by 40.
He doesn't get to 57. No way.
And I don't.
No way.
And I don't I don't think he's as good of a I don't think he's as good of a player as like Creed. Remember how high, I love Creed Humphreys coming out,
right?
And I just didn't think the Giants needed a center,
right?
But I don't think he's like a Creed Humphreys level center, at least in my opinion.
You know, here's what you got to remember too. Okay, I may not necessarily like it if they come out without anybody, but if they don't, let's just say for argument's sake, they don't. It's not a perfect scenario, but with all the interior guards that they have in that competition, it's entirely possible that they convert somebody.
Yeah, or you bring back Feliciano.
You know, bring back Feliciano or Bredesen. Bredesen played some center.
Yeah.
And the only reason I could say that's a fallback is because if you get the improvement out of Neal and you get the improvement and consistency and steady play out of one guy as the starting left guard – not that you want your center to be your weakest guy on the line, because you don't, but if the general line as a whole improves, John, that's a good thing.
Yep,
even if you don't necessarily boost that one center spot up to the moon, if the line as a whole is better, it's good.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking I really like that center or that guard, that center blocking there to build up. And even if they like a center, and even if he'd be not worth it right at the 25, but if he was early second round worth it, maybe to trade down and then take him, you know.
Maybe they move up, right? Maybe they trade a third. They've got their third. Maybe they trade their third as part of a deal to move up into the high second, John. They could do that too.
Sure, they could.
Right. Whatever it would take.
It might take a little more than just a three.
You have to go next. Well, remember, they only have the 1-3 now.
I know.
So you would have to dip into next year's draft.
You might have to.
The second round.
Or maybe you give up a 3 and a 5 and see what you can get. See how high you can get.
What I was talking about was trading our 25th and dropping down ourselves.
I'd be okay. Honestly, I think the way this draft is set up, I would be okay with that. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think that's a bad strategy, and thanks for the call.
I kind of like that. I just don't know that you're going to get any buyers.
Yeah, you might not. There might not be somebody wants to move up for. Yeah. So maybe someone wants to move up to get Hendon Hooker on the fifth-year option. Could that be something?
And that's the only way I think you get it, the enticement of a fifth-year option on somebody that they really want to get their hands on. Otherwise, I don't see the reason, because the value at the board doesn't look like it's going to be much different.
Yeah. Look, teams fall in love with guys all the
time. They do.
And, you know.
Hey, and maybe what if Richardson's there? What if Richard, I don't think he's going to be there at 25. But if he's there, there might be a team that wants him.
With all those quarterback needy teams
I don't see
top 10.
There's
going to
be some sucker who takes him earlier.
I don't think any of, dude, he might go first.
Oh, God.
Do you ever think about why? Think about this. And this is going to be our draft season topic next year. So we could talk about it now. We got about 5 minutes to kill. And if I get called out, we'll just end the show early.
Okay.
No more calls, Tom. We're good. Panthers went and signed Andy Dalton.
Yes.
Is that, now we don't have to start a rookie quarterback right away and we can sit him for a year?
Dalton's definitely, for me, he'd be a really good bridge guy.
No, Dalton's a legitimate NFL starting quarterback.
I agree. Was he 35 now?
Oh, is he that old? Yeah, maybe. Either way, he was fine for the Saints last year.
I think Dalton's a pretty good player. You know, look, I told you, you're going to laugh, and it's okay. Jets, I tried to give you the advice. You'd have been better off going after Jimmy G, even with his injury history. You'd probably have been better off going.
I disagree with that.
You would have been. I think they'd have been better off making a deal for Tannehill. I think they'd be better off even having Trubisky come in as a bridge quarterback.
I would argue.
Or an Andy Dalton.
I would be okay with Derek Carr or maybe Tannehill. I'm not.
Well, certainly Derek Carr.
The other
Derek Carr would have been the best of all.
Right.
But they couldn't make that happen.
Well, so I think they chose not to make that happen. They wanted to go for the big fish instead.
They're going to dance with the devil. And usually dancing with the devil gets you burned. But
a lot of times. Do you think they're going to have to give up the 12th overall pick to get Rodgers? Are they 13th or 12th? One of those two.
I don't know. But if I'm the Packers, I'm absolutely holding them over a barrel as much as I can.
Well, remember, the time's ticking on them, too.
Yeah, but they don't have that bonus money. Doesn't really hit them until week one of the season. Because it's a delayed bonus.
I get it.
Excuse me. So, and the Jets have to bid against themselves because in all honesty, Green Bay is in no rush.
Right.
They don't have to do it.
Right. But the Jets can also just say, all right, then fine, we're not going to take him. Then what do the Packers do? Then they get nothing for him at all.
I don't know that the Packers care so much about that as much as the devastation to the Jets. Because if the Jets don't get Aaron Rodgers, what do they do?
Yeah, but don't the Packers want to get something back?
Well, they'd like to, but I think the Jets would be in a more painful situation if they don't get Rodgers as compared to Green Bay, which may not get anything for him.
You know, Rodgers could say, all right, I'm going to come back. I'll play for the Packers. Then what do they do?
I think that's already been burned, that bridge.
Oh, maybe Aaron Rodgers. Oh, you want to play hardball with the Jets? What? And you don't think this is beyond Aaron Rodgers to say, okay, I'll come back and I'll play for you.
Nothing's beyond Aaron Rodgers, and that's why.
Why don't you go pick up my $60 million option now?
I think nothing is beyond him, which is why I would not want to deal with the pitchfork.
Well, no, that's what my point, though, is that the pressure does go both ways. If Rodgers wants to wield his hammer on behalf of the Jets, he can wield his hammer on behalf of the Jets.
Does he have a no trade?
No, but then the Packers would have to cut him.
Yeah, they'd have to cut him.
And then the Jets get him for nothing.
Or they'd have to turn around and ask, is there anybody else? Guess what, folks? He's trying to pull a fast one on us. Is there anybody else who wants him dirt cheap?
No one has the cap space. They can't.
I don't know who does.
No, no one does.
Is that already determined?
Oh, yeah, no one. Who can afford that?
Yeah. Look.
So that my point is that the leverage, while there is leverage on the Packers side for sure, to your point, they can wait a long time and not activate that option until September, 100% right, there's leverage the other way too. So
there is.
My guess is that they're going to figure something out, and I don't think they're going to have to give up that 12th overall pick. I guarantee that's what they're asking for, and the Jets don't want to do it.
Oh, it's going to be a conditional.
And that's why this is not happening.
The big part of this will be a conditional in 2024. Something like if the Jets make the playoffs or if the Jets make it to the conference championship game, or if he plays 17 games.
Don't you think
that's what's going
to
happen?
Don't you think the Packers really want the pick this year so they could use that to put more around Jordan Love?
I'm sure they do. They'll probably say we'll take a 2 next year or this year and maybe a 2 next year, which conditionally becomes a number 1 next
year.
Oh,
Jets aren't giving up potentially a 1 and a 2.
Oh, I think it's going to be 2 twos, but the second 2 could be a conditional. That moves up.
I think
that's what the Packers are going
to
ask for.
I think the price is too high. The Packers have nobody else to trade them to. Why would they be able to ask for that much?
I'm telling you, if I'm Green Bay, that's what I would try to do.
No, I know. And then the Jets say, no, we're not paying that much. Then what do you do if you're the Packers?
Well, then, you know what? The clock is ticking, and the longer the Jets don't have the guy in camp, the more it hurts their process and their preparedness.
So that's true. And then Aaron Rodgers calls us, okay, I want to play for you guys again.
That's an interesting take. See, I never thought of that.
I would put nothing past Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's, to do things out of spite. Heck, he was going to retire. He's unretiring because of spite to stick
exactly.
it to the Packers. I would put nothing
Which,
past
by
him.
The way, what a great reason to unretire, to be spiteful to your old team.
Yeah, I know. Is that, for 20 years.
Check this out, folks. Number one motivation to be on the Pro Bowl quarterback you're acquiring? Wouldn't you want your number one motivation to win another championship? Wouldn't you want him to say, I want to do everything to get another ring before I retire? But no, somebody's motivation is, I just want to stick it to the Packers.
You know, I haven't talked to him about this. I bet you Lance would be 100% in favor of doing something purely out of spite.
Yes. Yes.
It seems like that would be right up his alley, no?
Yes.
Is that a yes?
I don't think there's any other explanation that is necessary. I concur with you.
Okay. All right, that's it for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Thank you for being with us. I think that's a perfect way to end. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay tuned to Giants.com the rest of the day, the Giants Huddle podcast. You might have more later. And everything else we do here as free agency moves break across the National Football League. For Paul Dottino, I'm John Schmuck. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back Monday at 12:30 for another episode of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Thanks for sticking with us. We'll see you then.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Thinking about gas mileage. You know, changing your oil with a full synthetic oil like Castrol Edge can help your engine get more miles. Right now, you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99. Get started on your next job today with the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.